Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. Tonight we'll deal with the issue of the First Amendment. We are looking at international laws as well as laws from individual nations trying to crack down on the speech, particularly the speech of those who believe in right and wrong and a Christian worldview. They tell you they're going to preserve religious liberty while doing this. Did you know that in 1918, the Soviet Union also said in their constitution they would preserve freedom of conscience? How well did that turn out? The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House, whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology. Brennan brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. As we are live tonight at 8:01 Central Time, November 14th. That's a Sunday night. We're live right now. Otherwise, you're watching tape delayed. I hope most of you know by now, I've been here every Sunday night, pretty much without fail, every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, since 2015 with this live television show. So, are you zooming? You know that's what the camera's on.
The camera's on?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Good job, Logan. Logan's trying to focus the camera right on my forehead. Not a good idea. I think in post-edit we should fix that, Logan. Maybe I should just start over, Logan. Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Thanks to Logan's mess up. All right, so as most of you know by now, we have been here every Sunday night since 2015, pretty much without fail at 8 p.m. Central Time. And I want to welcome all of you that are new, and I want to welcome back all of you that are alumni. We, of course, want to thank VCY America for carrying the show on TV 30 in Milwaukee. We want to thank Lindell TV for allowing us to come in on this time slot. We want to thank frankspeech.com. And, of course, we're streaming live tonight, as always, as we are on Sunday night, at wvwtv.com/live. Well, tonight is part six in our series of The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset. The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset. This is part six. You'll find parts one through five at my website, wvwtv.com. And tonight, I'm going to look at the First Amendment. But first, Logan, let's look at the seven F's that I've come up with for control and collapse. For control and collapse. Number one, forced vaccinations. We've already dealt with that. Then we went extensively into finances, which, by the way, let me stop right there. What have I been telling you guys for years and years and years? Inflation, 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 wealth destruction, hard assets, gold, silver, land, houses, right? And what do we report, see reported in the news this week? Inflation at a 30-year high, and gold is headed toward $1,900, silver is headed toward $26. Yep, and watch how many people run for the shelter of hard assets, particularly gold and silver. And they start paying stupid prices because apparently their daddy didn't tell them, buy low and sell high. But of course, it's not about profit. It's not about profit, no matter how high it goes, folks. What it's about is preserving your investment, your hard asset, or your cash, your savings into a hard asset. So when gold and silver goes up, it generally means there's a debasement of the U.S. currency, meaning it's taking more dollars to buy things. So isn't it interesting, as we're in this series, The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset, and we dealt for the last couple of weeks on finances, we then hit this week, big news, 30-year high in inflation. So we looked at the second F, finances. Third, food. That's a great way to control people. The just-in-time inventory, food shortages. People who are desperate are willing to give up some liberty for a little security, and as Franklin said, we'll lose both. Then tonight we'll look at the First Amendment. Five will be firearms. Six, foreign invasion. Seven, family health care. Seven F's that I've come up with to control and collapse. Number four tonight we'll sit on for this broadcast is the First Amendment. The First Amendment. We started out on this last week and we saw that the First Amendment declares what? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Well, I also gave you the quote by Herbert Marcuse, the man who coined the phrase, make love, not war. He consulted the 60s radicals, the radicals of the 60s. He consulted them. And he, the Frankfurt School, and his staff, that faculty, gave us what is known as cultural Marxism. Change the culture, change the values of the culture, and they will then want the economic philosophy of Karl Marx, socialism. They'll destroy their own country by their own hand. Also the same way as declared by the Muslim Brotherhood in their Muslim explanatory memorandum. So we have the red-green axis, the red, the Marxist, the green, represented by the jihadi flags of those Islamic nations, following the same pattern of getting us to destroy our own country. Well, Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School, he was all about limiting of the First Amendment. Look at what he said. I've given you this before, but it bears repeating and setting up for tonight. In his 1965 paper, Repressive Tolerance, he said they would include the withdrawal, meaning what the left would do, they would include the withdrawal of toleration of speech and assembly from groups. Wait a minute, isn't that what we just saw? Is your First Amendment right? Speech and assembly. But he's going to withdraw them from movements which promote aggressive policies, armament, chauvinism, discrimination on the grounds of race and religion, or which oppose the extension of public services, social security, medical care, etc. So if you're not for socialized medicine, redistribution of wealth, if you are a conservative, interested in limited government, the rule of law, the Constitution, private property, they're going to take away your freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. And they're going to accuse you of things like being for armament, meaning you're for the military, you're for war. Of course, you're a domestic terrorist who wants to maintain your Second Amendment. Why? What do you need that for? They'll say, are you violent? We have to have red flag laws now to take away the guns. We'll get into that. Chauvinism. Well, that's just simply, again, a masking term to try to put onto people that somehow they're chauvinist if they believe in the traditional roles of men and women, traditional sexuality. Discrimination on the grounds of race. Well, if you want to speak the truth about Islam, then you're discriminating on the grounds of religion, but maybe even race, because you're talking the truth about what Muslims practice, Islam. Or you're speaking the truth about, you know, whatever religious group it might be and their ideology that is contrary to a Judeo-Christian worldview. Well, if you do these things, they're going to deprive you of your freedom of speech, your freedom of assembly, your First Amendment. And this was Herbert Marcuse. He said, we're going to be more intolerant than the perceived, as he perceived, the right to be. Now, it wasn't that the right was so intolerant. He just perceived them to be intolerant because of his extreme Marxism, liberalism, cultural Marxism. And so he deemed intolerant as anything that was based on absolute truth. That's absolutely imperative for you to understand what I'm telling you right now. Their definition of intolerance is when you proclaim something from a standpoint of absolute truth. When you proclaim something from a standpoint of absolute truth, by their definition, you're being intolerant. You know, we've given the example before of why they tolerate funding at the National Endowment for Art several years ago, the cross put in a bottle of urine and call it art. Why would they fund that? Why would that be considered acceptable? Why is that not considered intolerant? Putting the cross in a bottle of urine. Why is that not considered intolerant? Because the cross traditionally has symbolized the Christian faith. And Jesus in John 14:6 declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me, speaking of himself. No one comes to God the Father in salvation, in a personal relationship, except without going through Christ Jesus. That is not tolerant according to the standards of the purveyors of political correctness and multiculturalism and diversity and tolerance. They are for broad paths. And the Bible says the broad path leads to destruction. It is the narrow way that leads to life. They believe all roads lead to God, universalism. They are not for an exclusive way or path. That's intolerant. So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, that is denying the idea that there are many paths to God, because Jesus is saying, nope, there's only one. By belief in me and my death, burial, and resurrection. That's very intolerant. And so if the cross is a symbol of Christianity, it thus is a symbol of intolerance. Thus, putting the cross in a bottle of urine, as was indeed considered art and funded by the National Endowment for the Arts, according to numerous news reports years ago, that is making the statement that we do not tolerate intolerance. Now, if you were to take a symbol of the LGBTQ community or any other protected class today, place that in a bottle of urine, you could very well be brought up on hate crimes. Because again, they get to decide what is considered tolerant and what is considered intolerant. So Herbert Marcuse went on to say, liberating tolerance then would mean intolerance against movements from the right and toleration of movements from the left. As to the scope of this tolerance and intolerance, it would extend to the stage of action as well as of discussion and propaganda, of deed as well as of word. A lot of propaganda out there, isn't there? To bemoan the conservative Judeo-Christian worldview, but it's also about deed and action. Action. And so tonight we'll look at some of the actions they're going to take from state to state, country to country, and at the international level of the United Nations to limit freedom of speech. To, in America, it would be to eliminate your First Amendment rights, to get control of you. Now, this is very important because if you are going to carry out a revolution, one of the first things usually to go in any revolution is what? Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. Limiting opposition is very important in a revolution. You must block opposition to the new paradigm. And so, if you desire to carry out a revolution without firing a shot, you would do it through disinformation, propaganda, psychological warfare, information operations, whatever you want to call it. That's why I did my part one series on brainwashing, and there will be another series to come, but I've been a little busy since I put out Brainwashed America Part 1 in February. I've been a little busy with my work with Mike Lindell, Lindell TV, WVW TV, and everything else, but I've already written the script for Part 2, and I hope to start filming it soon and putting it together for 2022, Part 2 of Brainwashed America. But you can watch Part 1 of Brainwashed America absolutely free of charge at brainwashedthemovie.com. Brainwashedthemovie.com. And limiting freedom of speech is crucial because if you want to carry out a propaganda campaign, you cannot let truth win. Truth is the antidote to the lie. The antidote to brainwashing is the truth. And if you watch my information presented in brainwashedthemovie.com, you'll see how vital it is that those who do not toe the party line or the line of the revolutionaries are eliminated or at least moved out of the way where they cannot infect others with their world view, so that the psychological operation, the propaganda, the brainwashing can be successful. Best known as the author of Brave New World, Aldous Huxley outlined steps toward social transformation. One, rewrite history to discredit nationalism and promote globalism. And by nationalism, he means those who believe in national borders, national sovereignty, national currency, patriotism. Globalism is really international socialism. So rewrite history to discredit nationalism and promote globalism. Two, teach thinking skills based on feelings and experience, not facts and reason. So very important to manipulate people, removing facts and reason. One way you remove facts and reason is to eliminate those who proclaim facts and truth and reason by taking away their freedom of speech and right to assemble together. 3, encourage loyalty to peers and teachers, not family and churches. 4, immerse students in global beliefs and values. 5, here we go, block opposition to the new global paradigm. Block it. How do you block opposition? Well, you take away their right of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to broadcast, freedom of the press, freedom to print, to publish, distribute, blogs, podcasts, TV shows, right? You have to block opposition to the new global paradigm. And finally, 6, condition students to serve a greater whole. That was Aldous Huxley's 6 Steps for Social Transformation. Here is an article, or actually, here is a screenshot from my book, The Coming Religious Reich. Reich means empire or kingdom. The Coming Religious Reich. And I wrote that in 2000, it came out in 2016. And I laid out the similarities between what happened in Nazi Germany and what I saw even then in 2015 as I wrote the book, actually 14 and 15, actually many years of research. So many of these books I work on with the research for years and years before they actually turn into a book. The research oftentimes is years in advance. Then it turns into a book and then I release it. But when this book came out in 2016, I shared then what I saw as systematic steps being duplicated in America and around the world that would really push a global neo-Nazism. Another word for what the Nazis were doing was what? Fascism. Big government and big business, right? But it was also wrapped in a veneer of religiosity. There was very much a religious component to that of Adolf Hitler. Go right to the swastika, which was really a tweaking of a Hindu symbol, and Hitler's green alternative energy, and his belief in pantheism, and his belief in Madame Blavatsky and other occultic ideas and black magic. It's all well documented. So it certainly had a religious component, while he also claimed to be protected by God. No, he was not. But they had to get rid of freedom of speech, didn't they? Book burnings, etc. So in that book, I wrote about one individual on a global scale who is attacking freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. None other than a man I've warned about for many years prior to my 2016 book coming out, Tony Blair, a Fabian socialist who himself admits that the Labor Party, of which he is a member, was birthed out of the Fabian Socialist Society that want globalism, and admitted in their 1910 window designed by George Bernard Shaw, they would use wolves in sheep's clothing to get it done. Look at what I wrote in this book, The Coming Religious Reich, that came out in 2016. In June 2015, article by Nick Cohen in the European newspaper The Guardian. It was entitled, Tony Blair Has Just Joined the Crew of Reckless Muzzlers. And he outlined in this article the attempts by Blair and others to implement tolerance laws. Democracies appear to be turning into caricature middle-class leftists who wants to silence the politically incorrect. But there are two important differences. Powerful states are more thoroughgoing than PC censors, and in their own way, more honest. Blair has joined the European Council on Tolerance and Reconciliation, which is not only concerned about Holocaust denial, it is lobbying governments to reorganize that the only way to stop extremism is to stop tolerating the intolerant. It wasn't to protect everyone who may be subject to the threats as a result of their ethnic, cultural, linguistic, or religious identity. The authors don't just mean that we must protect them from physical harm, as of course we should. They want to extend the borders of censorship by criminalizing prejudiced speech as group libels. This ambition makes Blair and his allies seem no different from the average British or American university, which bans speakers and declares whole swaths of thought heretical without even bothering to pretend that they provoke violence. Despite the Blair's opposition to Holocaust deniers, many Jews, this is me now writing, but by the way, let me just stop right there. Notice that Tony Blair is going to push, he is going to push this idea of the need for being intolerant, even more so intolerant than who he deems to be intolerant, not tolerating intolerance. Notice he's going to use the camouflage of Holocaust deniers. Now, this is very much like declaring that someone who is a capitalist is therefore a racist. No one wants to be called a racist. No one really, and they're, you know, if they're of good moral character and upstanding and intelligent, wants to be defined as being a Holocaust denier and thus an anti-Semite. So this all falls into the same category. You're a racist. You're a bigot. So he's going to use the cover of Holocaust deniers, Tony Blair, to implement policies to deprive people of freedom of speech. Because who can really argue with the idea that Holocaust deniers are insulting and, in many cases, bigots, anti-Semites? But even many Jewish people believe that that is just one of the consequences of a free society. You have to put up with stupid people, ignorant people, and you have to put up oftentimes with bigots. But to limit their freedom of speech and attempt to limit their so-called bigotry, which legislation does not necessarily always change hearts and minds, but to try to do so only ends up limiting the freedom of speech of many others. And many have recognized that what Tony Blair is doing is using Holocaust deniers as a convenient and politically correct mask or camouflage for what is, I believe, his ultimate goal: stopping those that criticize anything he and the Fabian socialists and globalists don't agree with, which includes those of us that speak truth about Islam. Don't forget, Tony Blair is the one that runs the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, seeking to bring the religions of the world together as one. In my book, I warned about another wolf in sheep's clothing, and I believe that's truly what he is, and I've been saying that for nearly 20 years now or more, and was criticized roundly for it by some of the biggest evangelical useful idiots and pro-family leaders, Rick Warren. And Rick Warren, of course, has proven himself to be exactly what I warned him to be. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should go watch some of our past shows, or maybe just know that recently he was praising Francis Collins of the NIH, the one that's been accused of working with the Wuhan lab that gave us the release of the bioweapon, COVID-19. Well, Rick Warren brought Tony Blair to his so-called church a few years ago and gave him an award. The same Tony Blair that's working to limit freedom of speech and freedom of religion. I believe that's what he's doing. The same Tony Blair that's seeking to bring the religions of the world together as one, as though somehow there can be a synthesis between biblical Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, which there cannot. The merging of Christianity with Islam means that Christianity would cease to be Christianity. It would really become something called Chrislam. And certainly the Christians and the Jews, if they think that they can find a synthesis or common ground with Islam, well, they haven't read the Quran then, have they? Or the Hadiths? Or the passage in the Quran related to the killing of the infidels, Christians, Jews, the people of the book? Or the ability to lie to them, to Kia? Or the ability to be peaceful with them until they, the Islamists, have the upper hand and then slay them wherever they find them? Only an uneducated boob would think that you could merge somehow in a synthesis the religious worldview of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And yet there's Rick Warren giving Tony Blair, the globalist and Fabian socialist, an award at his so-called church. Many of the people I warned about years in advance, I'm roundly criticized for. But that's not because it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's simply because I do my homework and my research, and my books are loaded with footnotes. It's just that people are most times lacking in discernment or education. And to the credit of some that were lacking in discernment or education, once they were educated, and I commend them for wanting to be educated. I cannot tell you the volume of emails and letters I've received over the years, people not only apologizing for sending me previously nasty emails or letters, but now saying they are joining and trying to open the eyes of others. The point I'm making is sometimes people just don't know, and we should give them some grace and try to win them to the truth. And sometimes, and I have had it happen several times, those folks come back and thank you for helping to open their eyes. But others, they will never do the homework. They will never do the research because they are committed to their presupposition. Because to do otherwise would require action on their part, action which they refuse to take because it is much too costly. So Tony Blair wants to bring the religions of the world together. He's working closely with the Islamists. He's supposedly behind the scenes trying to negotiate some kind of peace deal over the last several years between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And now he's pushing for limiting freedom of speech and freedom of religion, even as The Guardian has documented. Well, the article goes on to declare, despite Blair's opposition to Holocaust deniers, his law, which is going to try to stop it, many Jews are opposed to the attempts by Blair and his cohorts to ban free speech that many find offensive. Writing in the Jewish Chronicle Online, Joshua Rosenberg concluded, quote, "Of course it's unpleasant to come across those who seek to belittle or more often to justify the murder of Jews." Contemporary commentator Andrew Conan simply noted, quote, "The code itself outlaws material that exposes or tends to expose to hatred any person or group on the usual list of prohibited grounds." Listen now. "It is not necessary, that is, to show the material in question actually exposes anyone to hatred, only that it might." He advised, quote, "The court then upholds the ban on the grounds that the hatred to which individuals might or might not be exposed might in turn lead others to believe things that might cause them to act in certain unspecified but clearly prejudicial ways. It, quote, has the potential to incite or inspire discriminatory treatment or risk doing so, or is likely to, or at any rate can." Notice all the cans, maybe, will not. I mean, it's not will not or will. It's maybe, perhaps, can, could, subjective. Now you say, surely such things would not go very far. Well, I'm going to show you some legislation in some various countries tonight, as well as at the international level, that is only going to take what we've been experiencing here in America, that is deplatforming people, to a whole new level. You can live without Facebook, and you can live quite well. You can live without Twitter. You can live without social media. You shouldn't have to because of your convictions and values. But you can live without Twitter. You can live without Facebook. And yet, we have found that that's quite common now to find people deplatformed, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And in many cases, it can greatly injure their business as they built their whole business model of marketing around those social media platforms, spending years building up their followers and customers, only to be shut down with their ability to communicate with said customers. We've seen how egregious that can be, have we not? And it's wrong. But we've only gotten a small taste of what's in store for us. I'm here tonight to warn you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Reality is, if the purveyors of tolerance, who are really the most intolerant people you'd ever meet on the planet, have their way, this very broadcast is living its very last days. Now, it may take them months or years, but make no mistake, the legislation in other countries is the template by which those in America want to pass and enforce their laws that would indeed criminalize much of what we say here. And I don't mean criminalize as in just deplatform us. I mean criminalize as in imprison us. Many people might respond, oh, they'll never do that. They would never let that happen. They would never do that. Who is they? Who's going to stop them? Who has stopped them thus far? In 2020, actually 2019, we never thought they would get away with what they have gotten away with in 2020 and 2021. And we never thought they, the American people, would let them get away with it. But they have. And they are. Not in totality, as many people now are finally waking up and pushing back. But don't tell me they can't do it. Because ultimately, they have the power to enforce their edicts, meaning the power of the military, police, courts, sheriff departments, police departments, and other groups you thought never would join in on such a revolution that indeed we have seen will. And many Americans will sit by and do nothing, just as we've seen the video of the lady tased by a police officer outside as she sat watching her child's football game, separated with others, only to be tased for not wearing a mask. And no one did anything. So don't tell me they can't shut down this broadcast. Don't tell me they can't prosecute me. Don't tell me they could not imprison me. Who's going to stop them? They can do this because they believe that might makes right. They get to write the laws. They don't even, in many cases, have to even write the laws. They simply do it and get away with it with impunity. They could just do it. Even if the law says they can't, they still oftentimes do it. This past Thursday, I hosted for 4 1-hour town halls for retired FBI agents. I will bring you part one of that 4-hour town hall meeting tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Time during my 2-hour broadcast. That will begin at 8 p.m. Central Time, just a few minutes before 8, probably about 7:45 Central Time tomorrow night. I'll set it up and it'll start 7:45 p.m. Central Time tomorrow night to give us enough time to set up and carry that full hour. In this presentation on Thursday, we listened as high-ranking FBI agents, highly distinguished men, warned that the FBI was doing things they never dreamed that any FBI agent would take part in. One of them spoke of watching the raid on the home of Roger Stone, a man that was not violent, a man that was not accused of anything violent. And the raid on his home by a SWAT team, of which he said at one time he was on the FBI SWAT team, he said he nor his colleagues of his day would have ever gone along with that raid. They would have said, procedure is, called his attorney, have him turn himself in and be arraigned and bailed out or whatever. We don't raid homes with SWAT teams of nonviolent people, and we certainly don't go in tow with the media. We would not have done that. And yet, FBI agents did it. One who was the assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI declared that America is now no longer under the rule of law. He repeated it. America is no longer under the rule of law. This is a man who worked up on the 7th floor of the FBI and briefed daily FBI Director Louis Freeh, declaring that America is no longer under the rule of law. What are we under then? We are under the rule of might makes right. Because they can, they do. So don't tell me that what we're watching in other nations or at the UN being proposed and even implemented can't happen here. It's already underway and people are being conditioned. And those who they will seek to target are already being characterized as domestic terrorists. So that when the day comes, should it, that they shut me down and or arrest me or anyone else that dares to proclaim truth and violate their tolerance laws or commit hate speech by speaking the truth, even the preaching of the gospel of the way of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or reading from the text of Romans related to LGBTQ and then adding commentary could land you in jail. You're already seeing it. Look at this from my book in 2016. In Canada, Christians are already threatened with jail time and fines for teaching on the public airwaves what the Bible says about homosexuality. In February 2013, the Canadian Supreme Court ruled that biblical speech in opposition to homosexuality is hate speech. The case examined whether or not a brochure that condemned homosexuality and used the Bible as reference was hate speech. The court concluded in part, quote, the expression portrays the targeted group as a menace that could threaten the safety and well-being of others, makes reference to respected sources, in this case, the Bible, to lend credibility to the negative generalizations, end quote. Try to comment in Canada on homosexuality, even if you couch it by scripture, and you can find yourself shut down, thrown off, imprisoned, and fined, or all the above. Here again is the Fabian window. Remember, George Bernard Shaw made it in 1910, and Tony Blair unveiled it when it was stolen, then showed back up again, and praised the Fabians from which the Labour Party was birthed, his party. Notice again the slogan at the top, remold it nearer to the heart's desire, remold the world. Notice the wolf in sheep's clothing again, as I've showed you so many times, above the hot earth on fire. They will use wolves in sheep's clothing. They will use masking terms and camouflage to force their agenda. Even if that means they say, well, we're just really interested in Holocaust deniers. No, they're not. That's a cover. Or we will allow you to have religious expression. It will just have to be based on their definition of what is tolerant, end quote. Here is a headline. The Daily Signal. Merrick Garland directs FBI to target parents responsible for disturbing spike in harassment intimidation against schools. We all know this story, right? Going after parents who dare to criticize the LGBTQ curriculum or books that are really nothing less than pornography. I wouldn't even read them on the air. And in some cases, if you showed some of the books in totality without scrambled parts, you could be convicted of obscenity. That's right. I deal with it in my documentary, Brainwashed, at brainwashedthemovie.com. As I report on it and show the pages, parts of it are scrambled. A book for elementary school children. But we must scramble parts of the page, for if we don't, we could be charged with obscenity for broadcasting it. But you can give it to kids in elementary school. Parents that are speaking up about this are now being asked to be investigated as potential domestic terrorists by the FBI, as directed by the Attorney General. Here's his letter, dated October 4th, 2021. U.S. Senator Josh Hawley, Biden's FBI wants to target anti-critical race theory parents, but won't lift a finger to stop actual crime. Of course not. We know for a matter of fact from a FBI source that we interviewed with the former deputy assistant director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI sitting at this news desk. The source before January 6, 2020 had information and video and pictures of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Muslim Brotherhood involved, the source said, in illegal behavior. Money from overseas to fund subversion, revolution. When this was taken to the FBI, the word came back that not only would the federal prosecutors not prosecute those who are identifiable, but the informant was told The asset was told to destroy the information and then penetrate patriot groups to find the white supremacist, of which the asset said these are not white supremacy groups. They are patriot groups made up of whites and blacks and Mexicans and Hispanics. Well, you go find the white supremacist in those groups. That was before January 6, 2020. One. Before January 6, 2021, which shows that the FBI and the powers that be at the DOJ already had the narrative of painting as white supremacist, constitutionalists, patriots, and Christians. And now they're going to target the FBI, according to the Attorney General's direction, parents, for what? Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, where they go before a group that is assembled and say, we as the parents do not tolerate this. Well, their intolerance is not going to be tolerated by the FBI and DOJ. The intolerance of the parents to not conform to multiculturalism, diversity, perversion will not be tolerated. And so the left will become more intolerant than the perceived intolerance of the right and deprive them of freedom of speech, just as Herbert Marcuse predicted in 1965. Here's another headline, Town Hall. Will moms now be listed on FBI's most wanted list? Philadelphia mom speaks out, won't be intimidated by DOJ's targeting of parents. Subheadline, the Department of Justice is weaponizing the FBI, concerned parent said. What a timely production. My 4 1-hour town halls are, as they will be released with part one this Monday night, tomorrow night at 7:45 Central Time on frankspeech.com and lindelltv.com. Another headline, LifeSite News, Houston mayor backs away from demand that pastors turn over their sermons on transgender issues. Here's the United Nations strategy and plan of action on hate speech forward. Around the world, we're seeing a disturbing groundswell of xenophobia, racism, and intolerance, including rising anti-Semitism. There they go again. They're going to use that one as cover. Anti-Muslim. No, I don't know people that are anti-Muslim. I know people that are anti-Islam, and why would you not be? Hatred, anti-Muslim hatred, and persecution of Christians. Really, since when did the UN give a picture of warm spit about Christians? Social media and other forms of communication are being exploited as platforms for bigotry, neo-Nazi, and white supremacy. Really, who are the neo-Nazis? Who's really the ones pushing the fascism, folks? But they claim the neo-Nazi and white supremacy movements are on the march. Public discourse is being weaponized for political gain with incendiary rhetoric that stigmatizes and dehumanizes minorities, migrants, refugees, women, and any so-called other, end quote. This is all a bunch of trash. This is what you call a manufactured crisis. They're manufacturing a crisis, and they will use, by the way, they will use controlled opposition. They will use provocateurs to do things, to say things, dastardly things, and then paint them in the light of being the very people they seek to target. Who signed this letter? Who signed this piece of trash? Antonio Guterres from the United Nations. He's the UN Secretary General. By enhancing global resilience against this insidious phenomenon, we can strengthen the bonds of society and build a better world for all. By the way, Antonio Guterres of the UN was also a part of the Great Reset and that conference. And I played videos of him speaking, which again, this whole series is what? The Great Collapse is necessary for the Great Reset. They must collapse our First Amendment, our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of religion. They must collapse these things, because if we can speak up and speak out and organize and come together to show that they are the minority and we are the majority, they can never have their Great Reset. So they must collapse the First Amendment. The United Nations strategy and plan of action on hate speech went on to say, what hate speech is. Here's their definition of hate speech. Any kind of communication and speech, writing, or behavior that attacks or uses pejorative or discriminatory language, who defines that, by the way, with reference to a person or a group on the basis of who they are, in other words, based on their religion, ethnicity, nationality, race, color, descent, gender, or other identity factor, Well, again, these are very vague terms. Anyone who, in communication and speech, writing, or behavior that attacks or uses a pejorative. So if I say that this Islamist is promoting jihad and thus is a jihadi, is that an attack? Is jihadi now a pejorative? I mean, you see how loose this is? But that's by design. Let's keep going. Let's not forget again the words of Herbert Marcuse, 1965, repressive tolerance, it's happening. Let's go back again to what this individual said about using all of this to attack Holocaust deniers. Of course it's unpleasant to come across those who seek to belittle or more often justify the murder of our families. It's equally disturbing to find people in continental Europe who assure you that their compatriots were victims of the Nazis rather than their accomplices. But I'd rather put up with the intolerance of others than lose my right to speak freely, even intolerantly. The cause of freedom is best served by free speech. Commentator Andrew Cohn went on to say, quote, the code itself outlaws material that exposes or tends to expose to hatred any person. And we've already read this, right? All these words, can, might, could. Now here is the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights. I went looking for information about laws being put into place related to hate speech. And this is the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights. And they're setting up on this, you see on the slide, hate crime reporting infographic. Reporting, recording, investigation, and justice. Now we're going to have people narking on you. Here, reporting hate crime. Why is reporting important? Well, it protects and supports victims. Ensures access to justice for all. Who defines justice here, folks? Remember the term social justice? Reveals the real level of hate crime. Enables investigations and punishment. Creates a record. Empowers victims and honors rights. And notice again, you've got the Jewish individual, the Muslim, the person that's handicapped, the older person, the person of color. Folks, all they have done here is create a coalition of victims. This is not new. I warn about it in my book, Marxianity. They create a coalition of victims, and then they say, who's oppressing you? Oh, it's those Christians and capitalists, the Christians and capitalists. And by the way, the Europeans are dominated overwhelmingly by these Fabian socialists who hate Christianity. And so, as I warned in my book, Marxianity, Herbert Marcuse talked about creating a coalition of victims. The poor, the immigrants, the sexual minorities, the feminists. Who's oppressing you? The Christians and the capitalists. So they use those folks as cannon fodder to say, the source of all suffering and oppression is Christianity and capitalism. Therefore, we must be more intolerant than they are and deprive them of their civil liberties. 1965, Repressive Tolerance, Herbert Marcuse. By the way, thousands of these copies have gone out. The first printing, I wasn't going to reprint more, have more published, because I didn't have time for our staff to fill the orders. They're so busy. But when it sold out, you guys this summer started asking for the physical copies. So I finally said, fine, we'll reprint more, but not for $20 will we sell it. We won't sell it for $20. We'll sell it for $4.99. And by the time I pay the young people that work for us $15 an hour to pack it up, this is not about making money. And it's unfortunate that's what it's come to. I can't imagine that if someone had told me in 1980s when I was a kid what I was working for, that's what people be getting in 2021, $15 an hour. But you can't find anyone to work anymore for that. Less than that, really. So that's just where we are. One of these kids came over the other day to tell me how much it costs to get his car fixed. And I said, that's inflation. And of course, that inflation trickles down to how much you have to pay them an hour to get them to work. So they're good workers, and I wrote out some checks this weekend to a couple of them, and they work hard. And they're sending out hundreds of copies a day. So keep being patient. Many of you that ordered quantities, Your orders are going out tomorrow. I saw boxes stacked up. They did the onesies first, one who just ordered one, and then they started doing the people that are ordering more than one, and I saw a lot of boxes of different size because a lot of you are ordering quantities. Because at $4.99, I wanted it to be that price so you would order quantities. Because I talk about this kind of stuff in this book, Marxianity, and the victim coalition that is used to destroy the Judeo-Christian worldview and its adherents. So if you want to get a copy, and I hope you get multiple copies to give away, Marxianity, How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots Are Merging Marxism and Christianity Through Social Justice, White Privilege, Cultural Marxism, Illegal Immigration, Interfaith Dialogue, and More, you can get it at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. You'll also find some other resources there. Yes, we are a distributor of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Tons of orders going out each week and have been for the last 2 years. We've been a distributor since 2015. I ordered up enough for my family for 6 months to a year. I think it was 6 months at the time. In 2013, talked about it on the radio and TV, and people wanted to order. So we said, well, let's become a distributor and use it to offset some of our cost in all of the production and bandwidth and equipment. By the way, I got now like 7 or 8 people I've had to bring on just to help us keep up with producing television, filling orders. And a lot of it, by the way, is producing content that we give away. I actually have to pay people, and I have to pay them to produce and edit and put up and distribute the content and the articles. I pay them to produce free content for you. I pay them to produce free content that I give to you. How do I pay for them when I'm giving the content away? One way is by those of you that go to wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com, and support us with a tax-deductible gift to help us continue to push out free content, particularly our bandwidth bill, which is $8,000 to $10,000 a month last time I checked. Another way you can support us is by going to wvwtv.com/store and ordering some resources there. We have a reasonable profit margin fixed into those services. We offer you a service. We have a reasonable profit margin. We use the profit margin to keep WVW Broadcast Network going and continue to shove out free information and pay the 7+ people now I've got producing a lot of this content so we can put it out there for you to watch for free. But somewhere I've got to bring in the revenue to pay for it all, right? Well, that's why I urge you to do some of your shopping at wvwtv.com/store. By the way, let me just mention before I get back to this lesson, something that came in a couple weeks ago and I haven't had time to do anything with it. I'm very excited about it. Like most everything I do, whether it's Swiss America, whether it's Mountain House and this company, I am a customer. That's how I usually end up saying, hey, I want to be a part of that. I was a customer of Swiss America. I have been a customer of Swiss America. I brought freeze-dried food from Mountain House 2 years before I was a distributor. This is another company that I'm now working with, and now I'm going to recommend them to you. This is a company that offers satellite phones. Now, I love this idea because if you have to travel away from your family and the power goes out, the power goes down, the grid goes down, there's an EMP attack or a cyber attack, you're going to be a little concerned, more than a little concerned, about your family. And if all the cell towers have gone down, how are you going to reach out to your spouse or your college students away at college or your elderly parents? So I love this idea. And you can get plans where you're not using this all the time, where you use this for emergencies. Or you go out into an area camping that doesn't have cell coverage and you need to have the ability to reach emergency officials. Well, these satellite phones, I highly recommend. Logan, did I send you the URL for that? Put that on the screen if you don't mind. And it comes in a nice case. Obviously, some of you, you're going to want more than one. So if you're traveling or you have a friend, a relative that's traveling or a spouse is traveling and the power goes out or there's a cyber attack and cell phone towers go down and your spouse has one and you have one, you're both going to be at least able to reach each other and make a plan. So again, I highly recommend these. You see the URL to order them under the website, under the there. They also comes with this ability for a battery, so you plug it in to get extra life. But if you're like, wait, if the power's out, how are you going to charge it? Well, they thought of that. Solar panel, so that you can charge the phone directly or you charge the battery directly. But either way, that's your power source. It's got the carrying case. It's got all kinds of stuff. You'll find the details there. These folks, when we work with companies that we trust and we have vetted for services we think are legit, and by the way, we turn down so many people wanting us to work with them. We turn them down because it doesn't fit what we do. This fits what we do, from working with Swiss America on precious metals to emergency food, cell phone, or satellite phones. This all fits a lot of what we talk about, preparedness, being prepared. So I hope you go to the website that's on the screen for more information. For some of you, that's exactly what you want. You want that peace of mind. You maybe want to give it to your elderly parent or your college student who's an hours away or maybe a few states away, so that if there's an emergency, they have a way to reach you, or you have a way to reach them. I hope you'll check that out. So again, this is how we do what we do. Now, back to our lesson. This is coming again from the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights. They've created their victim coalition. They don't care about these people. These people are cannon fodder for the revolution. This is for simply camouflage, because they don't want to tell you the truth, which is we're really putting together a campaign to prosecute those that proclaim the Judeo-Christian worldview, the people that are the Christians and the capitalists. And trust me, the Jews will get caught up in this as well. You just wait to see what they will do with the Jews, while they use the Jews to say, oh, we're worried about the Holocaust deniers. We're worried about anti-Semitism. You just wait, because many of these people pushing this are anti-Semites. They don't care about the Jews. They're in bed with the Islamists. They don't even want the nation state of Israel to exist. They're behind the boycott, divestment, sanctions, BDS movement. They're the ones accusing the Jews in Israel of being apartheid state and racist and all this. But now they're going to use the Jews. Oh, we're concerned about Holocaust deniers and anti-Semitism. Really? Coming from anti-Semites. But they're using the Jewish state or the Jewish people as a camouflage, because they don't want to tell you what they really want. Because everybody abhors bigots, real bigots, discrimination against someone because of their people group or because they are Jewish. No one disdains that more than I do. There's only one race, the human race. And the Bible says, when it comes to the Jewish people, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. But I find it disgusting when the people that really do have great disdain for the nation state of Israel then want to use the Jews as their camouflage for really going after the Jews and the Christians. This is not what the cause is. It's masking terms. It's a camouflage. Well, the website goes on to talk about combat discrimination and prejudice everywhere, publicly condemn hate crimes. Again, who defines a hate crime? They're going to set up alternative ways of reporting, third-party reporting. Then they're going to bring in the law enforcement. Man alive, if these laws were in place and this was streaming, some of the stuff that we teach here about Islam and the cults and other things, can you imagine the knock on our studio door from police because so many third parties had turned us in? We would be fined and shut down. We couldn't even do this if we lived in Canada. You know that? Speak truth about Islam. We've already seen that tonight from the Canadian Supreme Court. You couldn't speak the truth about the LGBTQ community, even if you did it in a loving way, but a truthful way. So you're going to have hate crime reporting. Without reporting, hate crimes remain hidden. And it goes on to promote their propaganda. The European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance. The European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance is a unique human rights monitoring body which specializes in questions relating to the fight against racism, discrimination on grounds of race, ethnic, national origin, color, citizenship, religion, language, sexual orientation, and gender identity, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and intolerance in Europe. Well, again, that's also broadly worded. You just watch what will happen. Here's a bill that was introduced in the Scottish Parliament. I stumbled on all this in research, preparing for tonight's broadcast. This was presented April 23rd, 2020. Hate crime and public order. Now, the bill has all of these subjective terms. Part 2 creates offenses of stirring up hatred. What does that mean, stirring up? Well, he was stirring up hatred. Yeah, but what he said, did it cause someone to go do something? And is he responsible because he said what he did about Islam? Because he said what he did about Islam, he therefore stirred up and somebody went and did something stupid and unlawful. But, you know, there are already laws on the books. There are already laws on the books to deal with all of this. You cannot make a terroristic threat. You cannot make a terroristic threat. But you can say stupid things. You can say hateful things. You can say bigoted things. But you know what? If you want to live in a free society, you have to be able to say, I may not agree with you when you say it, but I agree with your right to say it, as the old saying goes. But now they're going to accuse people like me of hate speech for simply what? Saying it. If we say something that's supposedly stirring up hatred, and then someone goes and does something stupid, they can say, well, what possessed you to do this? Oh, well, I was listening to House and he was stirring up hatred. Stirring up. Look how many times this is used. Offenses relating to stirring up hatred. Stirring up hatred. Insulting manner. I mean, look at all the times they use the word stirring up and insulting. Look at the word may. The section 37 defines the different ways in which a person may communicate material to another person for the purposes of an offense. The different ways in which a person may communicate material to another person or by, what does it say? Displaying, publishing, or distributing the material like a sign on the internet, through websites, blogs, podcasts, social media, either directly or by forwarding or reporting material that originates from a third party through printed media such as magazine publications or leaflets. Okay, wait a minute. So if you pass out a gospel tract, a Bible, you may offend someone, the atheist, the Islamist, the New Ager, they may be offended. What's going to happen to you for passing out a gospel leaflet? What about you that put out a blog or a website or a podcast or on social media and you put out something that's true about Islam? What's going to happen? Giving, sending, showing, or playing the material to another person through online streaming, by email, playing a video, through public performance, or of a play. Well, offenses of possessing inflammatory material creates an offense of possession of racially inflammatory material. Really? What? Uncle Tom's Cabin? What are they going to deem racially inflammatory? Classics? Maybe you're watching the old Disney movie Song of the South. Go try buying Song of the South. Go try buying Song of the South by Walt Disney, by Disney. That's now considered racially inflammatory. You're going to go to jail for that? You're going to be fined for showing that? You say, no, that's not what it's intended for. You don't know that. You don't know that. This is about writing the laws in such a way they can entrap anyone they don't like and destroy them. It provides that it is an offense for a person to have in their possession threatening, abusive, or, listen now, insulting material with a view to communicating the material to another person with either the intention, well, who knows what their intents are, to stir up hatred. Again, what is stirring up hatred? One man speaking of truth is another man stirring up hatred, right? Well, he's hateful. He's divisive. He's stopping unity. He's intolerant. These are subjective terms. Stirring up hatred against a group or of persons based on the group being defined by reference to race, color, nationality, including citizenship, or ethnic or national origins, or where it is likely that if the material were communicated, hatred will be stirred up against such a group. Well, maybe your intent on preaching, Pastor, on Romans chapter 1 had nothing to do with your desire to stir up hatred. It was just you teaching the text. Thus saith the Lord. And all of a sudden, you find yourself charged with stirring up hatred. Maybe your sermon goes out over the airwaves where you're teaching on what the Bible has to say about LGBTQ. And you're simply teaching about it. And some nut job hears it. Maybe some mentally unstable person is actually put up to going and doing something that is already against the law. And then the unstable person who was set up to do this through some kind of provocative measures, well, where did you, what motivated you? What was your motivation to this? Well, I was listening to Pastor so-and-so on the radio. Well, what was he talking about? He was preaching against the homosexual agenda, quoting out of the Bible. And they go and they pull the pastor's sermon, and sure enough, and you say, oh man, you're going way over the top. That's not what these laws are about. Excuse me, you ought to read the legislation. That's exactly what the laws can be about. if you are stirring up, even if it's not intended, but it could be likely perceived to stir up. You could be responsible for someone else's behavior based on the truth you spoke. They took it and went and did something stupid that's already against the law. What that person did was against the law. What you did was not against the law. You're just speaking truth. They went and did something illegal already. But instead of prosecuting the one that did it, the pastor is going to get prosecuted as well as being the source of stirring up. Oh, I know there are those that will mock. But I'm used to being mocked about things because I have a long track record of predicting things that come true, sadly. Go read my books. Powers of entry, etc., with warrant. So now they have the power in Scotland to knock down your door. Under warrant in circumstances where there are reasonable grounds to suspect that an offense under Section 3 or 5 has been or is being committed at the premise, or there is evidence at the premises of the commission of an offense under Section 3 or 5. So they can then start coming through your doors. Provides that a sheriff or justice of the peace may, where there are reasonable grounds, grant a warrant authorizing a constable or a member of the police staff to enter the premises. If by force, if necessary. They might be in there printing gospel tracts. Look out. Forfeiture and disposal of the material to which offense relates. Provides for a court to order the forfeiture and disposal of any material relating to the commission of any offense under Section 3 or 5. Yeah, that gospel tract's offensive. Go burn it. Yeah, that book exposing Islam and quoting the Quran in context is offense, like Usama Dakdok's book, which translates the Quran from Arabic into perfect English. That might be offensive because it actually isn't whitewashed enough, and therefore the stupid infidels might actually find out what the Islamists are really up to when they read the Quran. Well, that's offensive. You better burn that translation. You better prosecute Usama or Annie or Sharam that speak, or Robert Spencer or Pamela Geller that speak truth about Islam. That's where they're going, folks. Individual culpability where organization commits offense. Section 9 makes a provision for certain persons associated with different types of organizations to be held criminally liable for committing an offense under the Section 3 or 5 in addition to the organization. Protection of freedom of expression and religion. Oh, yeah, because you know that's in there, right? Because they're all worried about freedom of expression and religion, right? Well, what's it say? Section 11 provides that behavior or material is not to be regarded as threatening or abusive for the purposes of defense relating to stirring up of hatred under Section 3 and 5 solely because it involves or includes the discussion of criticisms of religion or religious beliefs or practices, proselytizing or urging of persons to cease practicing their religions. Well, there you go, House. It's all covered. Nothing to worry about. Yeah, right. What's it say? Provisions that behavior or material is not to be regarded as threatening or abusive for the purposes of offenses relating to stirring up hatred under Section 3 of 5 solely because it involves. And by the way, you know what's really interesting about this? Look at the 1918 Russian Federation's Constitution, 1918, former Soviet Union. 1918, guess what they had? For the purposes of securing to the toilers real freedom of conscience, the church is to be separated from the state and the school from the church, and the right of religious and anti-religious propaganda is accorded to every citizen. Really? Didn't you know they had freedom of religion? And the former Soviet Union, the right of religious and anti-religious propaganda. Well, that didn't seem to stop them from shutting down all kinds of churches and throwing all kinds of pastors, including Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 14 years in Romanian communist prison, in prison. Wait a minute, 1918, the Russian Federation Constitution says we have the right of religious propaganda. It may be deemed as propaganda, but we have the right to promote our religious propaganda. Didn't work out so well. So I don't care what these people say that they're going to protect your religious liberty and freedom. That's all going to be very subjective. And trust you me, we already see they're knocking down the doors of people who did nothing violently wrong. They're raiding their homes with SWAT teams. They're raiding the house, the office and home of James O'Keefe, with 10 FBI agents cuffing him, throwing him against the wall because he dared to what? Look into a diary that supposedly belongs to the president's daughter? We already see the behavior of KGB Gestapo-type tactics. And you don't think that bringing hate crime legislation here to America, as is already going on around the world, isn't going to increase this with a destruction of the First Amendment? So they can have their great reset and get away from the truth tellers who are warning. As such, the act, for example, writing a newspaper article or a blog post urging followers of a particular religion to cease practicing their religion and convert to another religion, could not be regarded of itself as behavior which is abusive toward followers of that religion. However, if, for example, the article or blog post made abusive comments, who defines that? About the followers of that religion. Who defines abusive comments? Or threatened them with violence. Well, that's a terroristic threat. There are already laws in the books for that, morons. It could still amount to behavior that is threatening or abusive. So you could have, if you make a blog post that is considered to be abusive comment, you can be in trouble. Again, who defines abusive? They call us politically incorrect, Islamophobic. Why? We're speaking truth. They're already doing this. They're already labeling us Islamophobia for preaching the teaching the truth about Islam from their own books, the Quran, the Hadiths. So they're already showing us that they will accuse us of crimes like Islamophobia, hate speech, when we speak truth. They already accuse you of homophobia when you speak the truth about the LGBTQ lifestyle and that you don't want it shoved onto your kids. They're already accusing you of being revolutionaries, subversives, potential domestic terrorists, because you question the school board about teaching and indoctrinating, brainwashing your kids into cultural Marxism and LGBTQ. They are already doing what I'm telling you they want to further do. They're already labeling you as violent, potential violence, potential terrorist, haters, bigots, racist, and you're doing nothing wrong. You're doing nothing wrong. And they're already labeling you this way. And if they get the legislation to deem what you're doing illegal and throw you in jail, they will. And they won't have to worry anymore about the First Amendment and the truth tellers that are going against the revolution. Well, National Review, I found today after I studied this law, I thought, well, I wonder if anyone's written about it. And then I found this. Just as the 1837 blasphemy law prohibited composing, printing, or publishing any blasphemous or seditious libel, the new bill outlaws displaying, publishing, or distributing anything that stirs up hatred, as well as possessing inflammatory material or performing a hateful play. Yeah, they ended up coming up with the same beliefs I did after I read it and built my PowerPoint. I'd already built my PowerPoint and read all this and come to my conclusion. Then I found this. I thought, well, surely someone else has written about this. So I want to show you, I'm not the only one. Even the National Review, and I agree. Look at this. They close by saying the justice ministers has said that by creating robust laws for the justice system, Parliament will send a strong message to victims, perpetrators, communities, and to a wider society that offensive motivated by prejudice will be treated seriously and will not be tolerated. So they're going to be intolerant. That will not be tolerated. So we're going to be intolerant of you that we deem to be way more intolerant. We're not going to tolerate your intolerance. In other words, we're not going to tolerate your Judeo-Christian worldview. We will not tolerate your faith, your biblical convictions. We will not tolerate your freedom of expression, your freedom of religion, your freedom of public assembly. And you say, but Brandon, that's in other countries. That's the UN. That's not happening here. New York Times. Free speech is killing us. Noxious language online is causing real-world violence. What can we do about it? Well, they want hate crime laws, speech laws. Washington Post. Why America needs a hate speech law. October 29th, 2019. This guy was the State Department's Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs from 2013 to 2016. And what does he want? Hate speech laws. Hate speech has less violent... Let the debate begin. Hate speech diminishes tolerance. That's what he's talking about. Hate speech diminishes tolerance. It enables discrimination. Isn't that by definition speech that undermines the values that the First Amendment was designed to protect? Fairness, due process, equality before the law? Why shouldn't the states experiment with their own version of hate speech statutes to penalize speech that deliberately insults people based on religion, race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation? I'm all for protecting thought that we hate, but not speech that incites hate. Again, Who defines hate? Jesus said they will hate you, his followers, because they hate him first. Who defines what is hate? Where in the First Amendment are you guaranteed fairness, everything to be fair? And by the way, due process, that has nothing to do with your ability to speak the truth. Or equality before the law, that's why Lady Justice is blindfolded. So there's equality before the law, regardless of your race or your gender or your position in life economically. But what does that have to do with First Amendment? You cannot stop people from being offended and still have freedom. The gospel itself is an offense. The Bible says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's an offense. The gospel, the cross, Christianity, it is an offense to those who are perishing. Should we prosecute the Christians and the pastors and the evangelists and the missionaries? That's exactly what the UN, filled up with Islamists and Marxists, would love to do, and many within our government. Don't you think Nancy Pelosi hates Christians? Do you really believe Nancy Pelosi likes true, real conservatives and Christians? You know, I know the answer is no. Do you think many of our judges in America have an affinity for Christianity or a hatred? Do many of our legislators have an affinity for Christianity or hatred? Many in our media have an affinity for Christianity and conservative values or hatred. And now they will use the power of the law to persecute and prosecute those are stopping the revolution. Here's the United Nations General Assembly adopts Pakistan-led resolution on promotion of interreligious and intercultural dialogue. Oh, that's what you want. The United Nations passing garbage that comes out of Pakistan, which, what's it do? Promotes interfaith harmony, tolerance, respect for each other's religions and values and peaceful coexistence. The exercise of the right to freedom of expression carries with it special duties and responsibilities and must therefore be subjected to legitimate restrictions. Yeah, of course, and is Pakistan, where you're dominated by Islamists, can you imagine what the restrictions are going to put on Christians and Jews? In the wake of growing religious intolerance and racism, especially Islamophobia around the world. There you go. Who's accused of Islamophobia? Christians? Jews? It emphasizes the importance of realization of the UN Sustainable Development Agenda 21, especially the promotion of peaceful and inclusive societies. And then again, they go after the issue of Islamophobia, encountering the defamation in sacred religious personalities. Wait a minute. Defamation of sacred religious personalities? You mean like if I say that Muhammad was a child molester, a prophet pretender, a charlatan, a murderer? You mean, is that defaming a religious personality to say that about Muhammad, that he was a child molester? Well, wasn't he a child molester? Didn't he take Anisha as his wife when she was six? Didn't he supposedly, according to the book, consummate it when she was nine, Aisha? I mean, if you're taking as your wife a six-year-old consummating when she's nine, I think that makes you a child molester. So if I say that certain religious personalities like Muhammad was a child molester, is that a crime? Apparently in Pakistan, with the UN going along with some of their ideas, yeah. Yeah. What's the Bible say about this? Galatians 4:6 in closing. I have therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. Preach the word. Preach the truth of the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means in context? In season, out of season? When it's easy and when it's hard. Preach the truth. Preach the word when it's easy and when it's hard. That's what it means when it says be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Listen now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. They will not endure sound or true or right teaching. But according to their desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That means lies. They'll be turned away to lies. And they'll believe the lies about the Christians and the conservatives who are preaching a Judeo-Christian ethic and worldview, and those who particularly are preaching the gospel, the truth of what the Bible really teaches about life and death and why we're here. And what is salvation? what is true and right according to the character and nature of God and the moral law. They will believe the lies about the Christians who preach these things. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Well, that's what's happening. Evil is being called good and good is being called evil. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed yourselves into the doctrine, means teaching. So watch your teaching, make sure your doctrine and your teaching is sound, and then continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. In other words, continue to proclaim truth. In doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. By continuing to speak truth, we'll save, have people will be saved by hearing the truth. So continue in it. Didn't say stop if they pass laws against it. No, continue in it. In fact, look at this. Acts 5:27, 29, and verse 42. And when they had brought them, the apostles, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you to not teach in this name, meaning the name of Jesus, the risen Lord? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, your teaching about Jesus, the resurrection is what they're talking about, and intend to bring this man's blood on us, meaning accusing them of murdering Christ. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So how do we respond to hate crime legislation? We don't comply. We do not comply. But my friends, I'm giving you a warning now of what is to come, because they want to take away our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, so that there is no opposition to the revolution. If there is no opposition to the revolution, they can take us very quickly. But it's not just our First Amendment they must take. As we will see next week, they must also take our Second Amendment. As we continue looking at the seven F's for collapse and control, with the general theme being the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. If you appreciate what we're doing here, folks, and where else are you going to get this? And trust me, this is all original research. I don't go out there and copy what others are doing. I spend hours researching and searching and finding these bills and legislation by simple keyword searches. And yes, there are many talk show hosts, even was heard about one today, that is almost verbatim quoting my research with no attribution. That has happened for years to me, but at least the truth is going out. But I don't do that. We always give credit when we have research that has been given to us by someone. Oftentimes, I will interview that someone. So this is original research that takes hours to do. Hours. And if you appreciate the hours that I spend to prepare and then bring it to you, and the streaming bill, and all the staff it now takes to produce this, to edit this, to put it out there, I need your help. Please consider, particularly as we come to the end of the year, where about 40% of our budget for our foundation comes in, please consider a tax-deductible contribution at wvwfoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there, wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com, you'll find our mailing address there. You'll find our phone number there if you prefer to give during normal business hours. It's vital we hear from you. We also urge you again to shop in our store at wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. Now, tomorrow night, my TV show begins back here at 7 p.m. Central Time. At about 7:45, I will begin the setup to playing the first one-hour town hall meeting that was filmed on Thursday with four retired FBI agents. These are distinguished men who served our country in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who are now warning about the Marxist takeover of our country, the Justice Department, and the FBI as a tool for the revolution. One of them was the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. One of them was the FBI agent in charge of the FBI for the entire state of Alabama. Another was in charge of a major case related to the Daniels Midland. These guys have distinguished careers. Many of them have stories about tracking the KGB in America and what the KGB were doing in America. The FBI fought communism and the KGB. Today, unfortunately, The FBI has gone the way of much of the worldview of the KGB by even installing as its FBI director, James Comey, who said something to the effect of, I used to be a communist, I don't know what I am now, and was tweeting as Reinhold Niebuhr, well, Reinhold Niebuhr, a religious Marxist. That guy became the director of the FBI, James Comey. We also had a man, John Brennan, become the head of the CIA, who admitted for voting for Communist Party USA candidate Gus Hall. These men discuss all of these issues and more. The first hour of this historic town hall meeting will begin being aired in my TV show tomorrow night, November 15th, starting at 7:45. My show begins at 7 p.m. Central Time, but I will begin airing this about 7:45 as I interview a few other guests before we go to the first town hall recording. This is historic. They told me that no one has ever put together a television special with four retired agents warning about the Marxist takeover of America, the DOJ, and the FBI. It's historic. I had to pay these men because that's the right thing to do. Not because they made me, but because I believe these men, to take their time to travel here, it's worthy to give them an honorarium. So I gave them an honorarium. I paid for their lodging and their travel and meals. I then had to bring in my film crew and bring in a cameraman I work with regularly from out of state and pay him. I had to rent the building for about $800. We've got about $8,000 wrapped up in producing these 4 1-hour town halls. $8,000 to bring you free television. $8,000 in checks I had to write to bring you these four TV shows. Again, I will continue to do this if you will continue to support what we're doing. If you want these kind of resources and productions to continue, I must hear from you sooner rather than later. WVWFoundation.com to help us continue to put out free programming as a public service of WVW Foundation and WVW Broadcast Network. Please go now, WVWFoundation.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. This is the conclusion of The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset, Part 6. Thank you for watching. I'm Brandon House. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.